This is Radio Entrepreneurs. We are live on the air. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host of the show. And if you want, you can find us 24/7 by typing in Radio Entrepreneurs on your smartphone, and the app will come up, and we're always accessible. Our network is growing worldwide. We've touched people in more than 26 countries and proud of it. When you're thinking of 26 countries and Radio Entrepreneurs, maybe our number one reporter for driving us across the globe is Greg Stoller, a professor of international business at Boston College and renowned globetrotter. Welcome back, Greg.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Glad this is radio, not TV. It make me blush.
Well, that's nice. And you're deserving of all the compliments.
Thank you very much.
So what's the story today?
Story today is that we are 3 weeks away from headed back to Beijing to wrap up our international consulting class.
Wow.
This is the 13th year in a row that we've been fortunate enough to run this course. The last 12, so this is going to be number 12, is with our current client, CCAFM, China Consultants of Accounting and Financial Management. They are our partner in China, and they have been sponsoring this program, as I said, for well over a decade. And our students are excited. This is probably the best year it's ever gone. The reason I say that is I've got two teams of seven students apiece. Each of those two teams has consulted over the past 6 months more than 80 to 100 sources in writing their recommendations for CCAFM and its clients.
Good. When you're in China, how much a percentage of your conversations are in English still?
With our students all in English, but with the consultants, I would say at CCFM, probably 95%, if not more, are in Chinese.
Wow. That's a lot. And you're totally fluent on more than one dialect?
I do speak Cantonese as well. Not nearly as good as my Mandarin, but, you know, I define fluent in the sense that I feel very conversational, feel very comfortable, can understand the news on TV, can read the newspaper, but it's always a work in progress. I mean, even before I came over to the Radio Entrepreneur Studio this morning, as I try and do every morning, I listen to CCTV news online, or watched, I should say, online, read the paper, and there's still stuff that I have to look up in my dictionary, etc.
So there's a lot going on in the world right now. Is there a totally different perspective on, is it CCTV?
CCTV is the China Central, China Television. It is a different perspective. Unfortunately, different to us, either as an American or a Canadian, is often viewed as a pejorative.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting that different is a bad thing.
No.
But when you...
I know in Canada that when I go to Canada, I see more American news in Canada than I see when I'm in the United States. In the United States, I see more local news and local stories. And Canada takes much more of a global perspective on the United States.
I think what is particularly interesting for me, and I did this during the recent Hong Kong protests, and well before the Hong Kong protest was doing this as well, if you take any plain vanilla story and you read it from the Chinese perspective, and by the way, and from the French perspective, and you know the different languages that I speak, and then
well, the
read
French
it,
definitely have their perspective,
right? And then read it in an English language publication. In many cases, I'm not going to BS our listeners that you wouldn't be believing it's the same story. It's not that dramatic, but certainly there no amount of reporting is ever unbiased, I guess is the best way of putting it.
Wow. Okay. Well, I still didn't get my explicit answer. Like, I'm wondering about like the riots and the unrest that are going on.
Clearly, from mainland China's perspective, it was an unlawful approach that the people in Hong Kong should be happy that they've had their liberties preserved and maintained for as long as they have, and that they're clearly not in love with the country, meaning the homeland, the mainland China, etc. Hong Kong, of course, their perspective is we want what we want. And, you know, we believe in universal suffrage. And unless we receive it, we're going to protest.
Well, my guess is, China's been a very insulated society. It controls what it wants to control. Hong Kong can say whatever they want. They're not going to get it.
That's correct. Well, you know, it's like
it's not a United States.
Well, it's not only that. It's
not a grassroots society.
You know, I put it in the context for my graduate students that, you know, you sell your house to somebody. And for years, you lived in that house and you painted the rooms a certain color and you put certain furniture in the rooms that you designated as bedroom 1, 2, 3, etc. And then somebody comes along and buys it and decides to repaint the front of the house or to move walls. And you go back and you're shocked by saying, this isn't our house anymore. And the answer is, you're right. It's not, because you sold it and you got paid, etc. It's the same thing with Hong Kong, is that Hong Kong's lease expired. From the UK's perspective, it reverted to Chinese rule. And again, I never introduce religion and politics into my classes, but to...
How can you not?
Because it's not appropriate in a business classroom. But my
but
point...
But politics affects business.
That's true. But I guess my point is that for several years, mainland China followed through on its promises to leave Hong Kong as is.
You know, I was talking to a family member last week, and they were trying to... We were talking about social unrest around the world. And I said, don't you... And I talked about the British Commonwealth. And I said, don't you realize, think of Britain as the largest company in the world with companies that they had in their holdings.
Hong Kong,
yep.
India,
South Africa, right. Rhodesia, Canada, New Zealand. These were
the United States.
The United States broke away a lot longer. Right. But basically, up until the Second World War, these were basically economic entities that the crown owned.
Correct.
And it came with structures and processes. It's just no different than Johnson & Johnson or GM owning companies that they buy. And I said, and they controlled them. And I said, you have to understand, that's all they really were for them. And I said, you don't realize that today because the world has evolved and you don't want to study it. And so that Hong Kong was basically, it was a business entity owned by the crown.
Correct. I think people obviously don't think of countries as being corporate entities, but they are. I mean, they've got revenues, they've got expenses, and you're right. That's
what it was. And it was
and
a
police forces and education.
It was a corporate
support,
entity,
right,
and they
right,
protected
right.
those corporate entities. And it's ultimately they gave that corporate entity, like a merger, back to China.
Correct. Right.
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 So China owns it now under a different set of rules, like any merger. And the people who worked in the old company, as an example, don't like the new culture.
But I think...
And want a new set of rules.
But I think it's different because it's one thing to have never had something and then they're going to change
take it
the
away.
Rule. But now if you're taking it away, something you've had, I think it becomes a little bit more nuanced.
Oh, I agree. It's the same thing that I'm saying on a much grander
Correct.
And bigger scale.
Correct.
It's just the scale of it and the sense of loss and I'm thinking, and the sense of loss of power. I said to someone recently in one of the pieces of business that I'm working on an acquisition. They said, are they going to make a deal? And I said, he's not making a deal for money. He's making a deal for freedom. And
Absolutely,
I said, never underestimate how far a man will go if he's fighting for freedom over money.
You're absolutely right. And in many cases, mainland China should look at Hong Kong as being the economic goose that lays the golden eggs.
Right.
That in many cases, they should just leave it as is because you know that they are receiving benefit from those financial inflows. And to an extent, they have.
But that's never stopped some of those countries in Asia.
That's correct.
They make decisions right. based upon some global political philosophy over some economic philosophy all the time.
Or at the risk of sounding trite, because we've spoken about it on this broadcast literally hundreds of times, you can't ignore culture. And for us to say it's unconscionable for this country to be doing A, B, or C, if you look at it, and that's why I like reading the Chinese newspaper and listening and watching television and radio, is because you look at it from their perspective, and when you look at it from the inside out, it looks different.
I read probably 20 to 30 different news sources a day outside of this country, and including the ones of the country, because I know that we tend to see the world from our perspective, our
Correct.
Western...
Primrose glasses, for lack of a better
term.
Our
Western perspective, and it's our Western perspective that we created the world, and we don't understand. The world doesn't want to be created by us.
And I just had lunch with my business school roommate, who is a Hong Kong resident.
Oh, wow.
I was passing through. And, you know, he and I trade stories all the time because he knows that I'm a China watcher. And I know that he's lived in Asia for at least the past 5 or 10 years after he graduated from business school. And he said, what do you think's happening? And I gave him a quick overview of my thoughts. And I said, what do you think? And he said, I think China's just getting started. So this might be the beginning of a much larger, I mean, you said that China has been insulated, and for many years, you're right, it has been. This could be the beginning of their coming out party.
Look, you know, the communists in Russia held everybody down by a thumb because they knew that there was potentially unrest within their satellite. China held down people to keep unrest from happening, to keep control over what they're happening. There is no doubt in my mind there is social and economic change sweeping the planet. And, you know, Darwin, it's not survival of the fittest, it's survival of adaptability.
Absolutely.
And people who don't realize that we're going through some massive change and it's everywhere and at every grassroots level is not understanding what's going on.
But it's also fascinating because as
it's an exciting time, good or bad.
It is an exciting time. You know that I've been fortunate enough to be working this television show project for a couple of years now.
Right.
Our episode that we're filming currently is called Made Local and Bought Local, in terms of products that are made locally, right, but also consumed by local people.
Well, that's pretty logical since that's the title.
Right, okay. But my point being, very good, touche. My point being that our producer said, do you really think that you're going to find enough people who are using U.S. labor and who are consuming U.S. goods? And I said, I always like a good challenge. They're coming out in droves. So one of the downsides
Definitely.
Absolutely. And it's not a duh, but my point being that, you know, with China going through the economic improvement, dare say miracle that it's going through, labor rates are rapidly increasing. People want a higher quality of life. That has, of course, opened up for Cambodia and Vietnam to, you know, take the benefits of those spoils. But it also has given a chance for the United States. I mean, the most recent company in memory is WeatherTech, which uses only U.S. labor for its floor mats, et cetera. That's where I started for this outreach for this television show. And there are literally five or six other companies doing the exact same thing. It's great to see.
But they have a good brand.
But so do these other five companies,
right,
as well. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, you know this, everything's going through change, and you too are always looking at change yourself, aren't you?
Correct.
You have to look at it on a macro and a micro level.
I couldn't agree with you more. My father, may he rest in peace, always told me that any business that's standing still is essentially going backwards, because change is, you know, a must have and is always going to be there. That's why, you know, tying this back to the international consulting project that we're going to Beijing for in 3 weeks, every single year, the consulting firm CCAFM obviously insists on changing the topics because their business is changing on an annual basis as well.
Love being with you. You know I do. How can other people find you?
My BC email address is probably the best way. It's gregory.stoller.1@bc.edu. That's G-R-E-G-O-R-Y dot S as in Sam, T-O-L-L-E-R dot the number 1@bc.edu. But also please check out my blog, bclob.com, BC as in best companies, L-O-B as in language of business, bclob.com.
You could simplify it. My name is Jeffrey Davis.
Maybe I'll hire a consultant. Do you know anybody who is one?
Sure. Keep it simple, stupid. Kiss. This is Jeffrey Davis speaking with Greg Stoller. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.